Nice to see everybody here today. We've got a pretty full house. I think I counted 95 today. That's a good number. Well, I would like to give a special welcome to our visitors. We have quite a few visitors with us today. We're very glad that you chose to come and worship God with us. And if there's anything we can do for you, please let us know. I want to thank everybody for the cards and texts and so forth. Stacy had her surgery on her ankle. She's sitting back there in the back with her. I tell you, she's doing so good on that little scooter. She's ready to join that monkey act in the circus. She's doing great on that. So if you see her at the next circus, you'll... Anyway, today is our society celebrates Father's Day. Want to give a very, very heartfelt congratulations to the fathers. We have many fathers out here. We have some stepfathers. We have some father figures. And regardless, I'll just kind of say, anybody just about can father a child. But it takes a special person to be a dad. And we've got people that have been a wonderful father, have raised those children up properly. We've got people that have been a stepdad, that they didn't bring that child into the world, but they've done the role of a father. And then we've got people that may be a father figure to somebody, or multiple people, that in the absence of a birth father, have provided a role like that. And we're going to look at fathers today. It is a very honorable, it is a lot of responsibility. It's not, dads, you know, it's not all sunshine and roses all the time. There is no greater joy, but there is a lot of responsibility. In Proverbs 13, verse 22, we see it says, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children. When my dad died, there wasn't a whole lot of material possessions that I've still got of his, but I'll tell you, I have things that I use every day that my dad left me. Work ethic, pride, things like that, that I wouldn't trade for any amount of money. When we talk about an inheritance, fathers give an inheritance to their children, a family name. Something that hopefully you can always be proud of. I will speak for me only. I know my dad, I was never ashamed to say I was Charlie Eubanks' son, or that he was my father. Dads, that is something that we give our children, that family name. We show our children, especially our sons, how to be a man, what a true man is. Forget what society, forget what social media says a real man is. That you've got to be able to do this, or you got to look like this, or have this amount of money, or drive this kind of car, or dress this way. Forget what society says. Society can't even define what a man is. So don't get what a man is from society. I learned how to be a man mostly from my father. My dad taught me what it was like to be a real man. Girls, a lot of times females learn how to pick a husband because they see the kind of man their father was. And a lot of times we got to remember, men, we're modeling behavior whether we're intending to or not. They give us values. We teach values every day. Again, whether we like it or not. Our intention may not be, but we are teaching it. We as people in general do that. Fathers give their children a work ethic. They teach us, when do you quit being a father? When they move out of the house? No. I wish. Mine's almost 35. You're in it for life. You don't quit being a father when they graduate high school. You don't quit being a father when they've moved out of the house. You are their father till the day you die. And one of the important factors, you teach your children how to age. Your kids see you at work. They may see you retire from a job and have a retirement party for you. Hooray, 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 you worked X amount of years at the plant or whatever. Do they see you retire from being a Christian? Do they see you in your older years? How do you conduct yourself? And if I may even say, we fathers can sometimes teach our children how to die. Are we scared of death? Are we resisting it? Or have we lived our life in a way spiritually that we are prepared for it? Don't want to get morbid, but unless Jesus comes back while we're still breathing, none of us are getting out alive. We can even teach our children and leave them the inheritance of how to age, and may I say even how to die. Spiritually, we teach them and give them the inheritance of learning about God. Oftentimes in the home, that's the first lessons about God our children get. We teach them and give them the inheritance of how to pray. We're teaching them how to pray whether we realize it or not. It may be a subtle way. It may be conscious, or it may be subconscious. Do the children see Dad with an active prayer life? All the time. My dad is a man of prayer, can they say? Or do they only or is it kind of like Geico insurance? You know, you only go to it when you really need something. Dad's in a scrape, so we see him going to God in prayer. Only when he needs something. Does he pray for other people? Is it always gimme, 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 gimme? We teach our children how to pray. We teach them the importance of prayer. We teach them subtly how to deal with other Christians. Do we feed our children a diet of roast preacher and skewered song leader every Sunday afternoon? Do they hear the criticisms and the gossip? And do they form their opinions of brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so based on what they hear from you? They learn about the priorities of life. They learn about how big of a priority God is to us. They learn about prayer. They learn about the priority of attendance. How important it is to attend. Well, something came up. More than God? Well, we had a late night Saturday by our own choice. And the kids were tired Sunday. We give them an inheritance, whether we realize it or not. Proverbs 22, verse 1, it reads, "A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, loving favor rather than silver and gold." A good name lasts. Money doesn't. We could be given, you know, a bucket of money. We're going to go through that money. It seems like there's always something to spend money on. Seems like there's always a bill. Seems like there's always, you know, a dentist trip, a new tires for the car or something. We're going to go through a bucket of money. A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches. This was the scripture that Michael read to us earlier. Proverbs 20, verse 7. The righteous man walks in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. Our integrity, how we conduct ourselves, lasts long after this moment. Our children inherit that. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." That word train isn't ongoing. It doesn't say tell them one time and then they're on their own. Okay, kid, I showed you how to ride a bicycle. Now do it. Oh, you fell down. You'll never figure it out. Train a child in the way that he should go. It takes effort. It takes long suffering. It takes modeling. One of the phrases that bugs me the most is that phrase, "Do as I say, not as I do." Train a child includes modeling. modeling the behavior that in the way that we want our children to go. In Deuteronomy, we have been studying the law of Moses. This is part of the law of Moses. Deuteronomy 6, starting in verse 5, we get the commandment. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. Not some, not what's left. Well, I got to work, God. I got to do this. I got to do that. With all your heart. With all your soul. And with all of your strength. And these words, which I command you today, shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. The Jews literally did that. I don't think God would not be opposed to us having little signs out in our garden or on our front porch that we're Christians. I don't think he's opposed to that. The bottom line is, people should be able to look at us and know we're Christians. Should be able to know that by the behavior, by the things that are going on in that household, this is a Christian family. It should be obvious. In 1 Kings, we talked earlier about sometimes fathers even teach their children how to get old, and may I say even die, how to die. David, in his old age, when he was near death, we see some of the last recorded words that he gave to his son Solomon. In 1 Kings chapter 2, we see, it says, now the days of David drew near that he should die. And he charged Solomon, his son, saying, I go the way of all the earth. Be strong. Therefore, and prove yourself a man. And keep the charge of the Lord your God. King David is on his deathbed. And these are some of the last words he is telling his son. Son, I don't have long. You be strong and prove yourself a man. Keep charge of the Lord your God to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes, his commandments, his judgments, and his testimonies. I haven't always done that, Solomon. But you do that. You make following God the foremost thing of your life. As it is written in the law of Moses, that you may prosper in all that you do and wherever you turn. We see a similar passage in 1 Chronicles, chapter 28, verse 9. As for you, my son Solomon, know the God of your father and serve him with a loyal heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the intent of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found by you. If you seek him, you'll find him. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. Sometimes, and let me first of all say, not all males in here will become a father. Not all the men in here will become a biological father. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with being a father figure. Many of us are. One of the places we may be a father figure is in the church. I have been very, very fortunate that in my Christian life, especially when I was younger, to have had some Christians that I looked up to greatly, that I developed a very close relationship with, that helped teach me about Christianity. Not just about salvation. That's a whole nother story. They taught me about Christianity, about how to be a Christian. We may have opportunities in the world, whether it be teachers, coaches, friends of our families, people at work, that we might be have an opportunity to be a father figure to. Maybe they don't have a close relationship with their father. Maybe their father has passed. Maybe they need that, and we can be that to them. You don't have to be a biological father to be a father figure. We saw Paul and Timothy so many places in the scriptures. I love the relationship they developed. In 1 Timothy 1:2, Paul refers to Timothy as his true son in the faith. He's referred to as my beloved son and my beloved Timothy, and as my son. There was no biological, no blood relation here, but there were nobody closer than Paul and Timothy. We see this same thing with the apostle Peter and Mark, where he refers in 1 Peter chapter 5, he refers to Mark as my son. Now we know Peter had children. Says he was an elder. But here is another person he was a father figure to, other than his own children. Fathers, in closing, men, in closing, there is great joy. Those of you that have not had the pleasure of having children yet, there is great joy in being a father. Being a dad. But there's also tremendous responsibility to our children and in a lot of ways to God. We don't only have to answer to our children for the way that we have been a father to them. We have to answer to God for that also. Happy Father's Day. I hope it's a good one for you. I hope you are acknowledged in many ways by your own children or by the people maybe you've been a father figure to. I hope they acknowledge the special place you've played in their lives. Next week, we kind of going in a pattern here. We're going to look at mothers. We didn't We didn't do anything for mothers for Mother's Day. We're going to next week look at mothers. And then the next week we're going to look at kids, responsibility of some of the kids. So look forward to you being here. We never like to close out an assembly without offering the invitation. If you have been studying, if you've been studying the Word of God and realize that you are in sin and that you need to be saved, we just had a baptism last Friday. Terrence has been studying with Deborah, his mother-in-law. Terrence and Diamond have been studying with her, and she put her Lord on in baptism last Friday. We have a new sister in Christ. If you've been studying, realize that you need to put your Lord on in baptism. We have the opportunity to do so. If you are a Christian and have been struggling and have strayed off the path, there's no better time than right now to repent and to pledge to God to get back on that path. If the sin in your life is of a private nature, repent to God right there in your heart, in your seat. If your sin is of a public nature and involves other people, by all means, repent publicly. If you need prayers of the congregation, if there's anything we can do for you as your brothers and sisters, please let us know. If you're visiting with us and have been visiting some of the other congregations in town and would like to identify with us, that you would like to work and worship with us here at South Valley, we would love to have you. Whatever your need, please come forward while Frank leads us in the invitation song and we'll address those needs. Let's stand and sing.